We're continuing the series on more. I mean, you know that God has more for every one of us. You know, whatever you experience in God, there's so much more. And it's important that you don't get complacent and just kind of settle for where you're at. Because the Lord wants to give us more. But a lot of times, you know, the title of my message, In God's Hands, because God is in control of everything sovereignly. And then we often sometimes have a picture of God as a miserly old man in heaven, stingy and lifeless, with a long beard and a stick waiting to punish us whenever we do something wrong, hurling down lightning bolts at those who find his displeasure. Or we think of him like Scrooge, you know, we're getting close to Christmas, and who doesn't want us to enjoy life. But the Bible paints an entirely different picture of what God is like. You see, he is a generous God and the God of more. When we get to know him and walk in his ways, he wants us to experience the abundant life that comes from a relationship with him. You see, creation reveals God's goodness and generosity. And if you want to understand how generous and loving and giving our Father is, you have to read the Bible. And a lot of it is in Genesis, in the first book of the Bible, it has the seed form of everything that's happened in this world. Everything that's going on and that is yet to still go on, it's all in seed form in the book of Genesis. And you want to understand the generous God, you have to look at Genesis. And you read through the Bible. How many of you read through the Bible, you know, the whole Bible, not just reading parts of the Bible? See, the Word of God is to understand the Lord, and you have to understand the whole Bible and read the Bible, because reading the Word of God, you see that the Bible is really a love story. It's a redemptive story. And you realize that in creation, he reveals his goodness and generosity. Look at me in Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. You might want to underline that. He blessed them. That's the heart of God. He wants to bless us. And said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish, all the mahi mahi and the alua. Rule over it, yeah. I just like ruling over that, yeah. Because I like to eat, you know, pokey and, you know, fish and all that, yeah. In the sea and the birds in the sky over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. This is for our vegetarian friends, you know. They will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth. Now we got the meat eaters, and all the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it. I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. You see, God, in his creation, he reveals his heart that he's a generous God. He's a blessing God. He wants to give us everything. Well, he has already given us everything. But we find in Genesis 2, verse 8 and 9, the Lord had planted a garden in the east and in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eyes and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You remember that tree is that the Lord said to Adam, you can have all the food and all the trees in the garden except the one in the midst of the garden of the knowledge of good and evil. And it was really the Lord establishing his lordship there. He said, you're free to have all the food there in the garden, except that tree. You see, because the Lord wanted to reveal to them that, hey, I'm blessing you, but I am still Lord. And you see, when we walk with the Lord, we have to understand that Jesus is not just our Savior, he's also our Lord. He calls the shots. He's in control of everything. So we find here that the Lord provides for our prosperity. He provides marriage, sex, food, purpose. He provides the fulfillment of our destiny. He tells Adam, you ought to multiply and fill the earth, cultivate it, subdue it. He gave us everything we needed. Then the first command, he said, you are free. Free to eat everything that's in the garden. See, the Lord didn't say, hey, you know, there's rules and regulations I want to give to you. No, the first command he gives to you and I, we're free. How many of you know what it is to be free in God? I'm not just talking about free physically, but free from within. Because you realize that you know that Christ came to set you free. And that freedom that you have inside is really to live and to fulfill your God-given purpose. That freedom is not for you to do whatever you want. See, there's a lot of people that they think, oh, I'm free in God so I can do whatever I want. No, you're free in God so you can do God's will and purpose for your life. There's a big difference there. He provided everything for us. But in the midst of that garden, he said, there's a tree of knowledge of good and evil, and you're not to eat of that fruit. See, we find due to sin, we don't always experience God's goodness. Instead, we experience sin's consequences. When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. You see, what happened is the woman began to see the tree and began to desire the tree. And the devil, the serpent, you read the story, he began to question what the Lord said to Adam and Eve. See, Adam was supposed to take care and guard the garden. For some reason, Adam was, I don't know where he was, but he was just kind of not doing his job. So all of a sudden, the serpent tempts Eve. And he said, did the Lord really say that? You know, a lot of times, whenever God speaks to us, the enemy will always come and question that. Did the Lord really say that to you? That's why it's important that we know the Word of God. Because the Word of God is where the power is. And the Word of God is really that helps us to understand our purpose and our destiny. It's in the Word of God. That's why I encourage people to read the Bible. Read through the Word of God. But we find here that she began to look at the tree and she began to lust after it. She saw the tree as something that was good to eat. And then she began to realize it's something that would give her wisdom, and there was the pride. You know, the enemy attacks us in the same way. All through the Bible, you find that the three areas that the enemy attacks is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And remember, we talked about it some weeks ago, that Jesus went through that same test. You see, what happened is here, Eve was being tested, but what happened is she partake of the fruit. And we, you know, people say, oh, it's probably apple because Adam's apple. But I like to think it was mango. Because when they ate the mango, the Lord said, mango, get out of this garden. Yeah. So, you know, so, just kind of thinking through on that. But I love mangoes more than apples. Okay, so just understand that. But the fall reveals what went wrong. Why don't we experience God's abundance all the time today? It's because of the fall. You look around the world, you see all the things that are happening, the shootings and everything. It's because of sin. It's because people are separated from God. And when you're separated from God, let me tell you what, you're capable of doing the most craziest things in the world. We find that the fall has affected mankind. And because we rejected God, disobeyed Him, and the results was separation from God's perfect plan, and we and all creation was cursed by sin. You see, sin is really about what's the letter in the middle of sin, I. It's about I. And what happened is we decide in our life we want to do it our own way. You know, me, myself, and I, the unholy trinity. I want to do it my way. And we reject God. And see, sin is not so much just an action of doing something bad. It's because it's really a heart issue that, God, I don't need you. I'm going to do it on my own. How many of us know people like that in the world? They think whatever they had was because of what they did. But when you get a revelation that everything you have is from God and it's for God, it's never about you. And when you understand that the Lord was working in the situation, but because of sin that comes in. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life is in Christ Jesus. You see, if you continue in a life of sin, well, the result of that is death. And it's not talking about a death just, you know, being buried after you pass from this life, you know, 6 feet under the ground. I'm talking about a death that will be totally separated from God forever and ever. That's what sin does. But I'm glad it doesn't stop right there. It says, but God. Everyone say, but God. God had a plan for that. And he said this. He said, he has a gift for you. And it's in his son, Jesus Christ. So we find here that the Lord already had a plan. Even from the beginning, he promised that he would provide a solution for us. This is why we experience so much evil in the world. But see, we understand that there's consequences of our sin as well as the sin of others. But as we begin to understand, we can experience God's goodness as we abide in Christ. It's very important to understand. John 3:16 and verse 17, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. See, what happened is a lot of times in life we turn our backs on God because we're looking to something else instead of looking to God to meet all our needs. You see, you find that in the Bible it talks about we idolize certain things in our life. And because we're not maybe having certain needs met, so we start looking for other things to fulfill our needs. And we begin to idolize a person or a career. And we try to make those things more important than God. You know, I always hear, singles always coming by and say, hey coach, I've been praying for this person, man. And the Lord is bringing this person to the Lord. I say, yeah, it's good. Make sure they come to the Lord and not just to you. And then, so they would say, oh, you know, man, they're walking with God, they're coming to church and everything's fine now, you know, and later on you start seeing them, they're so connected with this individual, with this person, and you see them start just drifting back from grace group. Drifting back from being in church. And later on you don't see them around anymore. Why? Because that person became more important than God. They begin to idol worship that person. You see, and we can easily fall into those areas in our life where other things become more important. That's why it's important that you're in grace group. Why? Because life is, you need to connect with others. You need to open your life to others. See, if you're going to a grace group and you're just kind of being, you know, just surfacey, you're not going to understand what discipleship is and walk in transformation until you can open up your life. Who are you opening up your life to? Who are you sharing with your struggles that you're facing in life today? See, a lot of times we keep these things in us and we keep secretive and we wonder why we keep falling back and not defeating the enemy, not becoming overcomers and walking in victory, because there's areas in our life that we're not opening up to others. And that's why a beautiful thing about grace group is that when you confess your sins one to another. See, confessing your sins to God will bring forgiveness of your sins. Confessing your sins one to another, the Bible says in James 5:16, you will be healed. See, healing comes when you confess to someone else. That's why it's important that you stay in community, because you're confessing to God, oh, me and God, coach, that's great. You're forgiven of your sins. But you wonder why you're not healed, because you have to humble yourself and get with a band of brothers and sisters and confess to one another. When was the last time you talked to someone about the struggles that you're facing? And be real with people. Because if we're going to walk with God and experience His goodness, we have to, first of all, come clean and come open with our sins that we're facing with. You see, a lot of times people experience worldly sorrow instead of godly sorrow. Okay? Now, let me give you the difference. Worldly sorrow is basically you got caught with your head in the cookie jar. So you're sorrowful for what you did because you got caught. But a godly sorrow is a brokenness of heart. It's a contrition of heart when you realize, man, what I did wasn't just to the person that was around that situation. What I did was to a holy God. I sinned against God. Remember David? David said, man, I realized when Nathan approached him, he said, man, I sinned against God. You read Psalms 51. It talks about his confession to God. It's being honest with God in areas of our life. See, some of us, we really need to repent of what we're doing, that we know it's wrong in the eyes of God. And without repentance, we cannot really come into a living, alive relationship with God. Because you have to turn away from something before you can turn in faith to God. You see, a lot of times we turn to God, but we don't turn away from our sins or our past, and we don't deal with it. And what happened is we look at God as like an additive. I'm just adding God to my life. No, let me tell you what. The Lord wants us to repent. Repentance is not a one-shot deal. It's a lifestyle repentance. What you repented of last week, maybe you need to repent of something else this week. Oh, that's really hard saying, Coach. But let me tell you what, without repentance, there cannot come transformation in your life. You have to turn away from those things. And so you understand, when God came, He came to save us. So we come before Him, and we realize that we're going to believe in Him and trust our life over to Him. Because really, this whole thing is not so much about just saying a prayer and receiving it to my heart, and I'm just going my merry way. No, it's about surrendering your life over to Him. It's about giving the control of your life and say, God, I'm tired of trying to do it my own way. I've been messing it up enough. I'm going to give it back to You, Lord. You take control of my life. You see, in John 15, verse 4, it says, remain in Me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in Me. We need to abide in Him. If we abide in Him, we will experience His blessings and have life. Apart from God, we will experience the consequences of the fall again. And he was the most generous of all, giving His entire life to save us by dying on the cross. And you have to understand this, that when you're abiding in Him, what it means to abide in Him? Well, you know, the Bible talks about that when we're abiding in Him, we're disciples, we're following Jesus. There's three things about when you know you're abiding in Him. John 8, 31, 32 says, you know you're My disciple when you take heed to My word, because you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Well, you know, the mark of a disciple is really about abiding in the word of God. That's the mark of a disciple. And why? Because when you know the truth is not just something that will, you know, tickle your mind. It will set you free from whatever you're facing in life today. And the second thing about a disciple, in John 13, verse 35, I believe it says this, you have the mark of a disciple because you have love one for another. You see, a true disciple has love for people. And then when you be set free from God's word, you're loving other people. That's the mark of a disciple. How many of you know people like that? They're just so in love with God, and love is just oozing out of their life. When you get around them, man, you just feel loved by God. Why? Because they're connected to God. They're abiding in the vine. Thirdly, it says this, if you're really abiding in Him, in John 15, 8, it says this, you will know them as my disciples when they bear fruit. How many of you know that when you're abiding in the Lord, fruits will come out of your life? Things people just know. See, you know the tree by its fruit. So when you look at the tree and you see the fruits coming out, it's an indication that the person is abiding in Christ. You know, the problem with the Christians today, a lot of them, people are abiding in other branches, abiding in the fruit of other people's lives, but they're not abiding in the vine. And that's when guys tell me, wow, you know, I don't know about serving God because this person offended me. That person said this about me. Let me tell you what. It's just an indication that you're not abiding in the vine. You're abiding in someone else's branch. Because if you're abiding in the vine, it doesn't matter how many times you offend me. I'm still going to follow Jesus. I'm still in love with Him. And guys tell me, I'm giving up my faith because this person offended me. It all just tells me, man, you're looking at man and you're connected to man. You need to be connected in the vine. Because I've been walking with the Lord 37 plus years. Let me tell you, there's going to be a lot of things that are thrown at you. A lot of things that come against you. But if you're connected in the vine, you're going to make it. You're going to persevere and get through it. Can I hear an amen, somebody? You will. You will. But if you're looking at man and you're connected to you're just a person, then you'll easily get discouraged and get off track and you walk with God. That's why you have to abide in Him. When you're abiding in the Lord, God begins to do some amazing things in our life. See, God promises to ultimately restore all creation when Christ returns. Look in Revelation 21. He says this, that I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people. And God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. See, in the beginning, He gave us a garden. When He returns, He brings a perfect city. He was generous to us in creation. We messed up because of the fall. And as we continue to live in sin, we're going to experience the consequences of sin. But God, in His generosity, gave us His Son to restore us from our sinful ways. And as we abide in Christ, the promise of God that He will reverse the curse of the fall that's in our life. And we'll begin to see the Lord restore our lives. See, creation, then there's the fall, and then there's the area of redemption. And God wants to restore our lives. Where in your life today that you know you need God to restore? Because you feel like things been stolen from you, things been ripped out of your life. And you're serving God and you're wondering if those things ever come back. Well, God is a restoring God. I have a story of a man, Pete deal with, and you can put that picture up there, Pete, my man Pete. 1996, he worked for the Mililani Mortuary, and you know, he was married, he had a son, but in 1999, he got his license, and things were going really good, but year 2000, he basically got into drugs, he got into that real dark side of living. In year 2000, he lost everything. His home, his family, he lost his job. In fact, he was homeless for almost 6 years. And during this time, he served over 2 years in prison. And what happened is he was in prison, but he found this faith-based program. And what happened in this faith-based program, he began to hear about Jesus. There was a coordinator that took him in and began to talk to him and encourage him. He went to a house, you know, when they come out of prison, and someone was talking to him about the Lord. And it was on a Wednesday night church service that he heard God call him, and he went to the altar that day. They prayed for him. He fell on his knees and he cried out to God. And what happened is God met him at that altar, healed him, took the burdens off of him. And from that day forward, he knew what it is to have a relationship with God. And as he continued to get to know God, in 2006, he got back. They gave him a chance at Mililani Mortuary to come back after 6 years of being away. He started to work as an embalmer for nearly 2 years when given a position to become the team leader. In 2010, he became a manager in Mililani. That's when he met his wife in 2011 and married a year later. He met Stacy, and you know, they have a beautiful daughter, Mia. Now, he was promoted to director of morgue operations in 2014. Then the Lord, just recently in April 2017, he was promoted to Vice President of Operations. In January 2018, he expecting a new baby girl, Emily. I was telling Pete the other day, I said, you got a wife and two girls. God must really love you, surrounding you with women. But I remember sitting with him at a party, and we were sitting across the table, and he said, you know, Coach, when I was homeless and I was down and out, I thought all of this was impossible. But the moment I gave my life with God, I want you to understand, Pete is not perfect. But Pete is progressing in his walk with God. He said, the Lord began to restore my life one thing after another. Today he's vice president of operations of Mililani Mortuary. Went to see him, and just a moment. And you see, sometimes in life we're living so fast, we don't slow down and realize what God is doing around us. But see, God restored his life. Pete is not any better than you and I. He just decided to stop living his own way and say, Lord, take the control of my life. Lead me and guide me. And God restored his life. The Lord wants to do the same thing for you. What you may think is impossible today, in God, tomorrow can become possible. If you trust Him and you walk with Him. I want to ask the worship team to come, please. I just want the Lord to speak to us.